Wake up, wake up.
Hi, I'm Matthew Carlock, and you're listening to another episode of Sleep Deprived Storytime, where I go over the what's, where's, who, how's, when's, and oh my gods of raising my two kids. This is an incredibly exhausting but ultimately rewarding experience. Let's chat.
Now let's get on with the show.
Welcome back, friends, family, friends on the internet. I got a new microphone. We'll see what Albert can do with the audio engineering. The last couple times I recorded, it was a little bit wonky, so I'm trying something to help out. And in true fashion of what today's episode is going to be about, I got it from Buy Nothing. I'm super excited about that. No, this is not an episode talking about the virtues of Buy Nothing. It's about the internet and how it sometimes seems to be your only friend, but also a super toxic, terrible friend. Okay, so jumping right on in. Parents, beware the internet. I mean, beware the internet. Google and Amazon are going to seem like your only friends. They're always going to be there for you. You know, 2:37 a.m. on a Wednesday night to find a replacement toy that your child needs to go to sleep so that hopefully you can go to sleep within the next 24 hours. Or a peace of mind about that first cough that won't go away. Whatever reason you drift towards the internet, on several episodes I've already talked about the oppressive loneliness about being a parent. That sounds terrible, and I don't mean it to sound as bad as it does. I really, really don't. But the internet is a blessing and a curse. I use it all the time to talk about things. You're using it to listen to me. Isn't this swell? Isn't this fantastic? But it does have a dark side. Specifically, too much information, TMI, all over the place. You can learn about the millions of ways your child is trying to kill themselves because they're little suicide machines, or that they are trying to, that, you know, all the things that you worry about, and the internet will confirm for you that what you are worrying about is something you should worry about without giving you context or, you know, warning you to pump the brakes, which can be pretty damn daunting. I'm going to talk about the kind of negative things that I found first, and then I'm going to end it on a positive note, because you should know me by now, I'm a positive freaking person. Yeah. Okay, so one of the things that happens to parents is that, like I've mentioned, you get kind of lonely. And I've told people to, like, make sure you're always reaching out to your new parent friends. They can't do anything. They can't leave. We want company still. We're still human and social creatures. We just have another little human to, you know, attach, that is attached to us, that depends on us for life. Luckily, in the age of social media, it makes it feel easier to reach out and feel connected. Beware. Beware. There are a lot of really great social groups for new parents. However, there is a crazy dark side that I really wasn't aware of until I started looking for, like, social groups and stuff. For dads, one of the best dad groups that I've come across is a Bluey's dad group, Bandits. It's on Facebook. It's huge. I love it. They're a bunch of weird guys, but they're so supportive and stuff like that. The posts that I go up there are always either like asking for celebration, asking for high fives, or like just it's showing guys being vulnerable, and it's vulnerable all over the world. I love this group. I love watching it. I love reading the posts. I love contributing to it. I try not to go into the comments too much. Most of the time it's just people razzing on each other, but sometimes it can get hostile. But not nearly as hostile as mom groups. Oh my god, y'all. Going into some of those mom groups is terrifying. Most of the negativity surrounding social media and dads is generally also deals with toxic masculinity. BuzzFeed did this little article a while ago about like what toxic traits did your father or father figure have that you think about every day? And there was a lot of like my dad wasn't accepting of me, called me effeminate when I showed traits that were not ideal masculine. My father gave me an eating disorder, calling me fat when I was like 8 years old, that kind of stuff. You're going to find that. I have my own stories. Love my dad to death. Greatest father figure in the world as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, there was one or two games in which he got very spirited. And at the time, I was just like, yeah, that happens all the time. But I do remember having like a very tearful moment, either with my mom or with him. I can't remember. Being like, I don't want him to come to my games anymore. And that's not something I want my kid to say about me. And I'm taking that into consideration when I'm at his soccer games. Oh, gotta bite my tongue on a couple of those. I mean, it's just the competitiveness and stuff like that building up. Like, I understand now. I don't think I'm going to be ejected from any of my kids' games. I don't believe my dad was. He might have been. They were YMCA games. It doesn't really count. So dad, social media, internet, dad culture is mostly toxic masculinity stuff. But for moms, however, social media takes on like this dark twist where moms become cliquey, like they're back in high school again. Let me see. I couple of things that I found that were interesting. I found this one blog written by Iggy Paulson like 4 years ago talking about why parenting culture is toxic. And a lot of it is things that I acknowledge that it's there. Iggy, you definitely, you know, took a militant route, but I definitely see where they're coming from. Parent shaming is a thing. Yes, it is. You're shamed for being broke and not having money. Oh, yes. They mentioned being lonely, you don't get to put yourself first, yeah. One of the first, a third or fourth reason they come down to is, like, mom friends are, like, puts you back in a mean girl situation. And that, it was, like, the best, like, idea that I, or the best explanation or description of it. Women become very judgmental, especially in comments and things like that. I did find another article by one Heidi Butler from 2022, and it's titled Why Are Mom Influencers and Online Mom Groups So Toxic? This was a great read. It's on familyeducation.com. I swear to God, I could just read this article for you guys. It's one of those things that's like, ah, yes, I love this. Good job. mostly they're talking about how moms use social media, one of the biggest ones being Facebook and Instagram, but those places become toxic. Now, if you haven't lived under a rock, you've probably heard by now that the more time you spend on social media and following influencers who only show you snapshots of perfect lives, hits your confidence and your it helps anxiety grow. And as a parent, you're very, very vulnerable to all those negative feelings and emotions. Moms, you're dealing with postpartum, you're dealing with isolation, you're worrying if you're doing everything right, and then you might go on social media to, like, take your mind off of it, and you're just going to doom scroll and make yourself more fraught and upset and panicky about what you're seeing. It's scary that these mom influencers and Facebook groups or any kind of social media group have these. Apparently, it's just kind of an expected culture in them, and that's scary and it sucks. The article goes on to kind of say, find the right group, basically. Like, groups are going to be the best group is going to be different for everyone. My spouse has one, and I think it's called, like, Academic Moms, and it's for moms with kids born in a certain time period and who are, you know, have graduate degrees and stuff like that and work in academia or research and things like that. And it's just, like, crazy, the, you know, similarities. And it's that's the kind of group that they found the most, that spoke to them, that called out to them. Mine is a talking cartoon dog. Their social media for parenting group that speaks to them the most is, you know, smart people. Whatever, opposites attract. I'm just saying, if you're going to look for a social media group, they're not all terrible. I'm not all doom and gloom. Some of them are really good. You just have to find the people that align with your parenting style and ideals. If you go into a group thinking one thing and you voice your opinion and that's not the culture norm of that group, you might be attacked verbally and through text, which is, there was this... somewhere in this article, I tagged it, and then my phone power is dying, so now it's, like, hard to find stuff. Okay, here it is. 23% of moms on social media say social media has had a negative impact on their emotional well-being. I already talked about that. But 49% of moms on social media say they have decided not to post, share, or comment on social media because they are worried about others judging them. Yeah, that's the big thing. Like, feeling like you're not doing the right thing is the number one fear that is the focus of the mom group shaming and stuff. If you say one thing and the group feels the other way, you'll be attacked, and that's not good for anyone's mental health or well-being. The article goes on to very, very clearly say, please find, like, in-person friends as well, mom friends. You know, have people that you can meet in real life. That helps, and it takes away that crazy anonymity that comes with the internet, the anonymity bravery that happens when people can hide behind keyboards and things like that. But when you meet them face-to-face, you get, you know, more of the story. You get more of the context, especially with communicating. You get the body language, you get the facial expressions, and you get the words. It also says make sure you look for groups that moderate their content, take social media breaks, and don't believe everything you read. Take things with a grain of salt. Try not to compare your situation with other people's. Ask questions, but interpret the answers carefully. Like, if you have a question about a throwing this out there because this is what the article says, breastfeeding. Don't ask a group that you're not sure about, consult a lactation consultant. If you have questions about vaccines, don't go on social media. Talk to your pediatrician. That stuff. That's what it's telling you to do. I like that article. It's great. Again, it's familyeducation.com. The title of the article is Why Are Mom Influencers and Online Mom Groups So Toxic? Again, written by Heidi Butler. Good job, Heidi. High fives. Okay. So, I was going to say, one more thing before I go into the different section. There was another article that I found pretty useful on motherly.com. This one was written by Mariah Maddox in 2022 as well. And it's very clear toxic online mom culture is draining. How to keep it from feeding like into your anxiety. And it's a lot of things that I've already mentioned, but it's a good article to read nonetheless, just to, if not confirm what I was kind of saying and what you were already thinking. Be mindful of the groups that you join, know when to step away, and make sure you have in real life supports, like people that you can meet up. Those are the three main takeaways, but again, it's great to hear it from multiple sources. All right, break time. Okay, I promised I was going to end on a positive note. Well, here it is. Comment sections, while also really great for entertaining and watching the world burn, when you're Googling and trying to find answers to things, either products or medical or blogs or something, the comment sections are not just a place to tear people down, but it's also where you can find the anecdotes you are looking for to help you with your situation. Many, many times, their mom would be up at 3 a.m. looking for a product and unsure if the product was going to work for them or not, and then finding that someone had the same exact situation and that it didn't work or it did work was such a relief. So the internet is not terrible. In the comment sections, there are, I do believe, people are mostly good. 99% of history is forgotten about because we only want to hear about the 1% of people that, you know, change stuff or go against the grain. But 99% of the time in population, I truly believe people are social and want to help. And that extends to the internet. So again, on a high uplifting note, well, more or less a positive note, check out your comment section if you're looking for specifics and you don't want to throw your whole life out there for people to tear down. The comment section is a great place to get a better idea of what's going on with other people and what either products or advice could look like in different situations. Yeah, all right. That's where I'm going to end it. I've been talking for a while. You guys are probably bored. I didn't really have any fun stories this time, but you know what? Well, whatever. Albert, I hope this microphone was better. Everyone else, remember to take joy in the little things. Take yourself a little bit lighter. Take life a little bit lighter. And as always, get some sleep. And that's our show. Thanks for listening. Please support the podcast by liking, sharing, and subscribing on whatever platform you're listening to.
You can also help the podcast through a monthly subscription through Spotify. For a low, low monthly price, you will get extra content such as readings of other short stories I've written, a chapter-by-chapter read of my middle grade novel, Defenders, unedited interview, bloopers, and so much more.
You can follow the podcast on Twitter at SDSTPodcast. You can follow me personally on my Instagram and Twitters at KCOLRACM, that's at ColRackM. And finally, a big shout out to Albert Maldonado for engineering the sound to perfection and writing our really awesome song. All right, see you next time.